Let me just ask real quick. I don't know why, but I feel like my voice is really loud today. Does it sound really loud, especially loud for you guys? Yes or no? Or is it okay? It's okay. Okay. Most people are saying okay. Okay. Great. Well, we've been going through a sermon series called Creating Communities of Christ. We are almost done with this sermon series. Next week will be the last one. And we've been talking about, I've been challenging you guys to try to create a community of Christ, maybe in your workplace, maybe in your neighborhood. These were not sermons just to listen to and just to feel good about. These were sermons to be encouraged, being reminded about what Jesus Christ has done for us, so that we would also go forth and start thinking about, you know, what is God calling me to do? Where is God calling me to go and share the gospel? Who can I share the gospel with in my workplace, in my neighborhood? And so as we've been going through the sermon series, even if you haven't started yet, even if you haven't been responding with action, I hope that you will continue to at least think about this and be praying, asking the Lord where the Lord might be leading you with all this. Today we're going to continue in the sermon series, and specifically we're going to be talking about how as you go and want to create communities of Christ, what are the tools that God has given to us to be able to do this? Many of us might feel very unequipped, ill-equipped. Many of us, we might feel like we just don't have the skills or the gifts to be able to do something like this. Some of us were really shy. Some of us were really scared about doing something like this. And so I wanted to just briefly go over today, what are the tools that God has given to us to be able to do this? Because I do believe that God has given us tools to every single believer, every single believer in Jesus Christ. God has given us tools to be able to do this, to create communities of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to be talking about that today. Why don't we turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 22, and we'll start in verse 22, and we'll read all the way to verse 29. And as we turn our Bibles there, if you are not a believer here, if you are not a Christian, I just want to say that I'm really glad that you're here. I'm really glad that you're able to be here and experience what a Christian community is like. And so even as we talk about creating communities of Jesus Christ, I want you to know that we here are also a community of Jesus Christ. And we seek to grow together and seek to love one another. And I hope that you get to experience a bit of that today. All right, so we're looking at Acts chapter 22, starting from verse 22. If you have one of these Bibles from the outside, we're looking at page 932. This is the reading of God's word. Up to this word, they listened to him. Then they raised their voices and said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live." And as they were shouting and throwing off their cloaks and flinging dust into the air, the tribune ordered him to be brought into the barracks, saying that he should be examined by flogging, to find out why they were shouting against him like this. But when they had stretched him out for the whips, Paul said to the centurion who was standing by, "Is it lawful for you to flog a man who is a Roman citizen and uncondemned?" When the centurion heard this, he went to the tribune and said to him, "What are you about to do? For this man is a Roman citizen." So the tribune came and said to him, "Tell me, are you a Roman citizen?" And he said, "Yes." The tribune answered, "I bought this citizenship for a large sum." Paul said, "But I am a citizen by birth." So those who were about to examine him withdrew from him immediately. And the tribune also was afraid, for he realized that Paul was a Roman citizen, and that he had bound him. Amen. What do you identify as? For some of you, this might be a difficult question. For some of you, you're thinking, what kind of question is that? Okay, let me tell you what I'm talking about. I identify often as a Korean American. My parents are from Korea, and when I was growing up, within my house, I spoke Korean to my family. I ate Korean food, I went to a Korean church. But everything outside of my home, everything was American. I was born in America. I grew up in California, Southern California. And I learned American values. I learned Korean values too, but I also learned American values. And so I identify myself as Korean American. But I've received a lot of different types of responses when I say something like this. Some people would tell me, "You're Korean, right? I mean, your last name is Kim. So, can you tell me about the churches in Korea?" And I say, "I have no clue, because I've never lived there. Actually, I have lived there for 2 months, but that's it." Sometimes people come up to me and they say, "I don't get why you would say you're Korean American. I don't know why you have to put the little dash there. Just call yourself American if you're American." I got all kinds of responses. Now, I want to ask you, what do you identify as? Maybe it has to do with your country of origin. Maybe it has to do with your upbringing. Maybe it has to do with your university. Maybe it has to do with what your family history is like. What do you identify as? Maybe for some of you, it has to do with some of the experiences that you've gone through. Maybe it has to do with the terrible experiences that you have gone through. And that little voice that's in your mind keeps telling you that's who you are. That's who you are. So what do you identify as? Are you proud about who you are? Are you ashamed of who you are? The important question in all of this is, do all of those things actually define you? Are these things that have happened in your life or what you grew up with, do these things actually define who you are? Well, I'm going to give you guys the answer. The answer is, to a degree, yes. Those things do define who you are, to a degree. But ultimately, no. Because for believers in Jesus Christ, our identity comes from Jesus Christ. And all of those things that happened in our lives, all of those things that we grew up with, all of those things that we experienced, they no longer have the power to define us, but rather we end up having the power to start using these as tools for God's glory, for God's work. And so when we talk about tools for creating communities, we're talking about everything that you are. Not just one little thing, not just spiritual gifts that some people talk about, but everything that you are can be turned into a tool that's used for creating communities of Christ. And so our main idea for today is this: let all of who you are be used for the Lord's work. And the three points that we're going to go through today are, number one, who you are, number two, the Lord's work, and number three, next steps. All right, we're going to dive right into this. Who you are. So just to catch up to the context of our passage, basically what's been going on is that Paul went through his third missionary journey. Paul was traveling all around, and he was making his way back to, originally he wanted to go back to Syria, he said, but he ended up going back to Jerusalem. And on his way back, there was a prophecy telling him that he would be bound when he went back to Jerusalem. Some of his friends were telling him, "Don't go back, don't go back. We don't want you to face that type of persecution." But he said, "Why are you guys doing this? I'm willing to even die for the Lord. And so he ended up going back to Jerusalem. And as he went back to Jerusalem, there was some tension that was there in Jerusalem. A lot of people heard about Paul. And they said, Paul is a guy that tells other Jews all around the known world at that time, Paul is the person that says Jews don't have to follow Moses anymore. And so this word got around. And so when they came to Jerusalem, the church received Paul, and the church told Paul, hey, look, we're gonna help you out. Because there's this tension that's there in the air right now, and we want to make sure that you guys are safe. Remember, Paul was traveling with a lot of other people at that time. So Paul says, okay, I'll do whatever you say. So they take all these measures to make sure that he's going to be safe. And yet, some of the Jews that Paul met all around Asia, that big orange-ish area there, some of the Jews from there, they followed Paul all the way to Jerusalem, and they started stirring up the crowd saying, this guy is telling people all around the world, all the Jews, that they don't have to follow Moses anymore. And not only that, he brought Greeks into the temple. And so all these people are so angry, and they're wanting to kill Paul. But then Paul, he gives a speech, and he tells them, look, this is what it's all about. This is why I'm saying what I'm saying. He gives a speech, and then all of a sudden, at the very end, he says, look, because of what's been going on, because of Jesus Christ, because of how you guys have negatively responded to Jesus Christ, God has allowed the gospel to go to the Gentiles. Now, immediately, as we think about this, there's this identity issue that's there. The Jews and how they view themselves, and then how they view the Gentiles. Gentiles were people that were non-Jews. So how the Jews viewed the rest of the world. And they viewed Gentiles as impure. They viewed Gentiles, non-Jews, as people that were against God. Jews saw Gentiles as enemies of God. And so they needed to make sure that the temple was pure and clean. And so what they did was that they needed to fight against Paul, because Paul was saying that God's word was going to the Gentiles, to the enemies? No way. That can't happen. And so they became so angry. And so if you have your Bibles, we don't have it on the screen here, but if you have your Bibles, in verse 21, it said, this is Paul speaking, and he said to me, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. And then in verse 22, it says, up to this word, they listened to him. Then they raised their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live. And as they were shouting and throwing off their cloaks and flinging dust into the air, they're so angry. This is what they were doing to show their anger. The tribune, so this is a Roman official, the tribune ordered him to be brought into the barracks, saying that he should be examined by flogging to find out why they were shouting against him like this. And then they stretch him out and they get ready to flog him, right? So, as they're about ready to flog him, the purpose was to question him. If they give him enough pain, if they start whipping him and he has enough pain, maybe he'll start to speak up as to why everyone was so angry with him. That was the tribune's idea. So then what ends up happening? As soon as they stretch him out and he's about to get whipped, he turns to the centurion, the one that's getting ready to, that's ordering all the guards to whip him. He turns to the centurion and says, is it lawful for you to do this to me? I'm a Roman citizen. And I haven't been condemned. There's been no trial. And then they get all scared because he's a Roman citizen. Because the thing is that Roman citizens, they had privileges. If you weren't a Roman citizen, this could be done to you. You can be stretched out and flogged for questioning. But if you were a Roman citizen, there had to be a trial. You had to be condemned in order to go through something like this. You cannot just capture a Roman citizen and do this to a person. Again, this has to do with their identity. Roman citizen or not. Now, the tribune is spoken to, and he says, and the centurion says, what are you going to do about this? Because he's a Roman citizen. And then so Paul and this Roman citizen, this tribune, they have a conversation. And the conversation is basically, are you really a Roman citizen? Paul says, yep. And then the tribune says, well, I actually had to buy my citizenship for a lot of money, with a lot of money. And then Paul says, I was actually born a Roman citizen. Boom, right? It's like all of a sudden my status is better than yours because you weren't originally a Roman citizen, but I was born one. Okay, again, based on their identity through their experience and things like that, Paul was using that to get out of the flogging. Okay, let's think about what's going on here. Okay, let me ask this question. Was Paul prideful when he said, I was born a Roman citizen? Was he prideful? I would guess that he wasn't. I would guess that even though I said, boom, I'm a Roman citizen, even though I did that, but I don't think that was Paul's attitude. I don't think Paul's attitude was, you see, I'm better than you, so you better let me go. Why? Well, let's think about it. If that was Paul's mindset, then when he was first bound and taken to be flogged, he could have said that he was a Roman citizen already at that time. He didn't have to be captured, right? And so why didn't he speak up beforehand? Why didn't he speak up and say, hey, what are you guys doing to me? Don't you know I'm a Roman citizen? Get off me. Right? Why didn't he say that? Well, perhaps for Paul, his Roman citizenship was not as important to him as it may have been for others. Maybe as it was for the tribune. Perhaps Paul knew that his Roman citizenship could be a tool, but it's not something that defines who he is. Perhaps for Paul, he knew that God could even use his being bound up for God's glory. Right? Paul could be taken to jail, and still God could use that for his glory, for God's glory. And so Paul was open. But when the time came, he was able to use his Roman citizenship as a tool so that he wouldn't be harmed. It's a good thing that he used it that way. Now, I want us to pause here and just think about this idea, because we're talking about Paul's identity as a Jew and how he's bringing the gospel to the Gentiles. Also, we're talking about Paul being a person who is a Pharisee in the past, but he brought the gospel to the Gentiles. But also, we're talking about Paul, who was a Roman citizen, and how he was able to use that idea. I want us to think about you now, yourself. And I want us to ask a couple questions. So, who are you? What is your history? Who are your parents? What are your parents' history? What gifts or talents do you have? What experiences have you had? I'm going to give just a couple examples, okay, about myself. I'm just going to read off a bunch of stuff that I just jotted down about who I am, about my history, about who I was. And I hope that this prompts you guys to start thinking about who you are. I hope it doesn't just keep making you think about who I am. I hope you start thinking about who you are, okay? So my father was a refugee from North Korea, and his family has had a history of Christianity. My father was an engineer. My mother was a Buddhist before marrying my father. My mother was a nurse and even worked in the LA County Men's Jail as a nurse. I have a younger brother and a younger sister. I'm the oldest. That affects my relationship with my siblings, but also with my parents. I am Korean, grew up speaking Korean, even speak Korean to my kids now. I eat kimchi. I love 90s K-pop. So if you talk to me about the K-pop these days, I have no clue. I'm also American. I love freedom, barbecues, 4th of July, and Thanksgiving. I also grew up being rejected as an American. I also was rejected as a Korean. I was bullied. I grew up with gangsters around me. I grew up with kids selling drugs around me. I grew up learning to endure, to fight. I went to USC, University of Southern California. I love football. I was a computer engineer, a web engineer. I was a global marketer. I traveled around the world. I've been robbed with a knife. I love singing. I love guitar. I was a children's pastor. I was a mission team leader multiple times. I've also experienced a miscarriage with my wife. I've experienced rejection. I've experienced extreme pain with what my friends called the Peter Kim disease because the doctors didn't know what it was. I struggled with pornography for many, many years. I struggle with anger. At one point in my life, I was undercover. I was a lawbreaker. And there's so much more to share about who I am. What I share today does not cover the many stories that I could share with each and every one of you. But the point is not about me. Who are you? We don't do this often, but I want us to just take a moment to turn to a neighbor and just name two or three things that you feel like define who you are. Or maybe if you don't like to use that word, just share with the person next to you about some of the experiences that you've had that make you who you are today, that have shaped who you are today. So let's just take a moment to do that. Let's do that. If you don't have anyone that's next to you, find someone that's next to you and please share with them. Okay, you should be about done with one person. Now switch to the other person. All right, let's try to finish up in the next 10 seconds. All right. So now as you have shared with people around you, if you guys could turn your attention forward again. I'm so glad that you guys are willing to share with each other some of these things. Now, the shift that we want to do is not only talk about what has shaped us, but then how that can now be used as a tool for God's kingdom work, for God's will. How that could be used as a tool for creating communities of Christ. There's one other thing that I haven't shared with you guys, and there's many things I haven't shared, but there's one thing that I want to mention specifically. I don't know why, but ever since I was little, I liked doing like little tricks with my hands or with my face and things like that. So for example, are you guys able to do this? I mean, it's something silly, right? Are you guys able to do like this? Like, they're little silly stuff, right? Even things like, you know, can you make a star with your tongue? I can only do a half a star. You probably can't see it right now. But this is like silly stuff that I know how to do. And even this can be used as a tool for creating communities of Christ. And the example is that, you know, like I said, I did children's ministry in the past. I was a children's pastor for a couple of years. And I was part of children's ministry for over 10 years in the past. And this was my way to capture the kids' attention. I would say, hey, kids, are you able to do this? Are you able to do that? And then they would say, wow, how do you do that? Wow, Pastor Peter, you're the best, you know. And so I want us to think about how every single thing that has happened in our lives, big or small, good, maybe even the terrible things that have happened in your life, don't look down on it. Don't think that it's something that's not significant enough. Or don't make too much of it that it becomes something that controls your life. But put it in its proper place so that all of these things can be tools that are used for God's kingdom work. Now, some of us may say, what does that look like? And what is God's work anyways? And so that's what leads us to our next point, the Lord's work. So remember, the main idea is let all of who you are be used for the Lord's work. So let's think about the Lord's work. Let's think about how God has allowed these things to happen in our lives. It doesn't necessarily mean that He made those things happen in your lives. Sometimes it's the choices that we've made. Sometimes it's the things that have happened around us. It's the bad choices that other people have made around us that have affected us. Of course, God is in control over all these things, but what God does is that He allows these things to happen, and He will work everything out according to His purposes. And so along the way, all of those things come together so that God can use it for His purposes. I want us to look at Ephesians 4, verses 4 to 16. It's a long passage, but I've underlined some parts of it just to highlight certain ideas. All right? The basic idea that it's going to talk about is that Christians are given gifts. Christians are given these gifts, and there are going to be some gifts that are given as examples in the passage. But all of those gifts are there for a purpose. And the purpose specifically is to see a community of Christ that's built up. And as the community of Christ is built up, what ends up happening is that we're able to fight against the lies that come to us from this world. And as we build each other up as a community, what ends up happening is that we're able to not only be a community together, but we grow and mature so that we are also able to share the gospel with others and create communities in other places as well. And so all the gifts that we have, all the experiences that we have are there so that we could be a blessing to one another and also so that that could be spread around the world. So let me read this passage for us and just notice the specific parts that are underlined. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Okay, Paul's trying to make a point. Look, we are one body. We are united. It doesn't matter what cultural background you come from. It doesn't matter what kind of history you have. We are all children of God and we all belong to each other. And yet, grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, each of you has specific experiences and specific gifts that are given to each of you. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he, Jesus, gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles. Now here's the list of some of the gifts that were given. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. And here's the purpose: to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Until, and this is the goal that we're looking for, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. You see that last part there? It says, when each part is working properly, when each of you are doing what you're doing with the gifts and the experiences that God has given to you, when you are actually using those as a tool to bless one another so that we can grow together, what ends up happening is that it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So that's the purpose of why God allows us to experience all that we have. That's the reason why God has given us our family history, our own history, so that we can use all those things as tools for building up the community. Now, some of you guys have gone through really, really difficult experiences in your life. I've shared myself how I've gone through a very painful time in my life with the Peter Kim disease. Why did I go through that? I don't know. But I can share with you guys, I know what it's like to experience pain. Why did you go through what you did? And again, I know some of you guys have gone through really terrible things. I don't know, I may not know your specific pain that you've gone through. But why did God allow that? I want to ask you, would you be willing to accept the idea that perhaps God allowed that and has brought you through that, has protected you through that, or has allowed you to hold on to Jesus through that, has protected your faith in God through that, or has allowed you to go a path for a time so that you can come back to the Lord? Would you accept that God has allowed that so that somehow that could now be used to build up the kingdom, to build up the community of God? Perhaps it's difficult for some of us to accept that. I want to show another verse here. says, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. All things work together for good, for those who have been called according to his purpose. This is talking about every single Christian, every single believer. God has worked and will work all things for good. And here's what it goes on to say right after. It says, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And it goes on to say, and those whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified. You see, what it's saying is that God has been working in your life, whether you knew it or not, even before you became a believer. God has been working. God knew you. God knew what was going on in your life. God loved you from the very beginning. Even before the creation of the world, God already knew that you were going to exist. God already knew about you, and he was going to set his love on you. And he was going to change you and shape you and mold you and make you more and more like Jesus Christ. That's what God wants to do with you. And becoming more and more like Jesus is being able to love others, to be able to live out your life according to God's will. See, the thing is that we struggle sometimes with our own identity because we want that to mean so much. I was so hurt when people told me I wasn't an American. And then I was even more hurt when I went to Korea and people in Korea told me that I wasn't Korean. All of a sudden, it felt like I lost my identity. Sometimes I strove to make sure that people knew that I was an American. Sometimes I wanted to make sure that people knew that I was a Korean. There are times that I was here in Taiwan and people were talking about Koreans. And for some reason, maybe they thought I was American, or maybe they thought I was Taiwanese, or maybe they thought I was something else. And so they just start talking about all these bad things about Koreans. And it just hurts me. But why does it hurt me? Perhaps because I'm putting my identity in that thing a little too much. When people talk bad about USC and say your football team sucks and your defense sucks this year, it hurts me. Because I want people to recognize, no, we're going to go all the way to the national championships. Now, I'm joking, but what about you guys? Why do you become so angry and upset when people talk about certain things? Maybe it's about politics. Maybe it's about how you feel like another person is mistreating another person because you've experienced what it was like to be mistreated. Why do you become so angry and upset about all these things? Maybe it's because your identity is so much more in that rather than your identity being in Christ. Jesus Christ, when thinking about his life, how he lived a perfect life, how he went to the cross, how he died for our sins, and how he rose again from the dead. When we think about his life, you know what that means for us? What that means is that not only were you bought, your citizen of the kingdom of God, your citizenship in the kingdom of God, not only was it bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, but actually you were born again and you were made a child of God. You are a citizen of the kingdom of God. You were bought to be a citizen, but not only that, you were born as a citizen of the kingdom of God. Just as it says in Galatians 4:7, you are no longer a slave. A slave to all those things that make you so upset, that you identify with, that gives you your identity. You are no longer a slave to those things so that you have to become angry and upset and worried about what people think of you. You are no longer a slave to those things. But a son, a child of God. And if you are a son, then you are also an heir through God. See, brothers and sisters, Christians, what Jesus Christ has done for us is that he's given us a new identity. So that we don't have to hold on to these things to be so precious in our lives. They don't have to be masters over us, but rather we can put them in a proper place and say, these things don't control me anymore, but they are tools that God has given to me to be used for the kingdom of God. When we put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, it gives us a proper perspective. As children of God now, as citizens of the kingdom of God, everything that we experience in our lives have now become tools that we can use. And God will use all those things for his glory. And so when we say it's the Lord's work, we're not just talking about what we're supposed to do, but we're talking about how the Lord has been working in our lives, and how the Lord's working and going to work through us. And so, brothers and sisters, let all of who you are be used for the Lord's work. Be willing to let that thing, even though it's such a painful memory, be willing to share about that with other people. Because maybe through that, the Lord will use that to be a blessing to someone else. Those little tricks that you might have, that little hobby, or the thing that you're passionate about, perhaps that can be used as a tool for the kingdom of God. Do you like pets? Maybe that could be used as a way to bring about a community of Christ. Whatever it might be, let's think, and let's do that now. Let's think about the next steps. How can we begin to see this? Well, first of all, of course, we want to look to Jesus Christ and rediscover once again our identity in Jesus Christ as a citizen of the kingdom of God, as a child of God. Myself, when I went through that experience of being rejected as an American and being rejected as a Korean, my identity became, well, actually, those things are important, but not as important as being a Christian. I'm proud to be a Christian. I'm happy that I'm a Christian. And I want to share with other people that I'm a Christian. What about you? One of the things that you could do is maybe start to list out all the things of who you are that make you who you are. Some of the things that you mentioned to your neighbors today, make a list of that. And the second thing is, think how each one of those things that you listed out can be a tool to share the gospel. Maybe that leads you so that you become a part of the children's ministry. Or maybe that gives you a heart to want to build up a youth ministry at our church. Maybe that is what allows you to be able to speak to people, business people around the world, so that you're able to share the gospel with them. Or maybe you can start a support group of people that have struggled with drugs or people that have struggled with pornography and start that type of support group in our church. How can what you have gone through and experienced and the gifts and the talents and the passions and the little silly things that you know, how can these things be used for God's kingdom? Last thing that is that the Lord may give you more tools along the way. The Bible talks about how we can ask the Lord for more gifts, or maybe the greater gifts. So we can ask the Lord, you know, Lord, I feel like I'm not enough right now as I am. Help me to see how you have prepared me. But also, Lord, give me more gifts so that I may be able to use them for your kingdom. You know, another way that I can change that idea? Some of us, we feel like our personalities are who we are. We are defined by our personalities. And our personalities cannot change. Some of us, we think this way. But the reality is that all of us are able to change. And I'm not saying all of us need to change into some other personality. That's not necessarily what I'm saying. I'm not saying everyone here has to have a specific type of personality. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that if you're open, God is able to change even your most extrovertedness or your most introvertedness into something that can actually be used for God's kingdom. And God could use that. And perhaps you may find yourself with a different kind of personality sometime in the future that God uses for his glory. And so let's think through that together, brothers and sisters. Let's think through how the Lord can use everything that we are for his kingdom work. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for all the gifts and all the talents and all the skills and experiences that you've given to us. Lord, may we even dare to say we thank you even for the difficult times that we've experienced in our lives. Open our eyes, Lord, to see how you have been moving through all of that. Open our hearts that we may be able to use those things as tools now for your kingdom purposes. I pray, dear Lord, that you would do this wonderful work in each of our lives and for your glory. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.